you sue us? Do you see my problem with
that
this?
That was before we had our own court, Jesse.
Is it the cause of your own court?
Maybe.
Because it sounds like the cause of your own court.
So basically what governmental immunity was, it was sovereign immunity for municipalities.
Okay, all right.
And it was the exact same thing. And we've covered before the difference between common law and statutory law.
Yes, right? Yep.
Statutory law is the law that is written down by the legislature. Statutory common law is made by judicial precedent. It's law drawn from precedent.
Okay.
Now, you'll be happy to know that common law protection for the sovereign, well, first of all, government, but like the county level, went away.
Good.
Yeah, like back in 1973, in a case called Ayala et al. Versus the Philadelphia Board of Public Education. The site for that, for people listening along, is 453 PA 584. It's a 1973 case. That is a Pennsylvania Supreme Court case. In that case, some students sued the Philadelphia Board of Education, like their families sued them.
Okay.
Saying, you're not providing these protections to our children. And, of course, the Philadelphia Board of Education came back and said, we're an arm of the municipal government. Therefore, governmental immunity applies to us.
Okay.
So you can't sue us. We haven't consented to be sued. So you can't sue us. All right? And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court went through and basically said, yeah, no, they can.
Well, what was the ruling on that? What was the reason?
The reasoning was we think governmental immunity, first of all, isn't really a thing. We just sort of made it up.
They even admitted it!
And to extend sovereign immunity. And we don't think that it should apply to municipal governments. Municipal governments can be sued. Governmental immunity doesn't apply. All right?
This is wonderful.
Then, 5 years later, in Mayo v. Pennsylvania Department of Highways. That's right, PennDOT.
That's you!
Yes.
Aww.
Yes. This is.
Are you making fun of Daddy?
Yes,
don't make
I am.
Boozy, don't make fun of Daddy.
Yes. I'm actually pissed because you know what I found out the other day?
What's that?
Right, before it was the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, it was the Pennsylvania Department of Highways, right?
Okay.
All right, now my official title is Assistant Counsel.
All right.
All right. You know what my title would have been if it was still the Department of Highways?
What?
Highway Counsel.
Sir, you're already too much of a badass in this moment. I don't know if you can handle that title.
Like
that
does me wearing one of those bandanas with the eye holes, jumping in courtroom with a fucking flintlock and a seal. Stand and deliver!
I'm so sorry. I assumed that's how you did trial work now.
Stand and deliver your closing argument, please. In that case, it was actually a negligence case. Right.
Okay.
The Department of Highways hadn't repaired the road. Mail goes off the road, dies. So much death, honestly, when you get in the torque wall. Mail goes off the road, dies. Family sues the Department of Highways, saying if you'd properly maintained your road, he wouldn't have died.
Okay, fair assessment.
Pennsylvania comes back and says, sovereign immunity.
Okay.
You know, Pitt,
government
the Department of Highways is part of our government. It is the sovereign. Ayala doesn't matter because that was about governmental immunity, not sovereign immunity. We're the sovereign.
Okay.
All right.
So they don't even get a trial. They don't even get to sue them.
Right, exactly.
The ability to sue goes all the way up to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
The way it happens in Pennsylvania is you file a complaint, and then, like, right after the complaint, within 20 days, somebody can file something called preliminary objections.
Okay.
All right. And the preliminary objections, they're basically saying these are reasons this lawsuit should proceed. Right.
And their preliminary is just sovereign immunity.
We are the sovereign. We have sovereign immunity.
Okay.
All right. And when the court, if the court sustains preliminary objections, it's a final order. And because it's a final order, you have a right to appeal that order.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So they win at the trial court on sovereign immunity. It goes all the way up to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Okay.
All right. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court looks at it and goes, yeah, fuck that. It makes no sense. We don't have a king anymore. Actually, directly calls out the Department of Transportation on this one. Question four says whether the Commonwealth is immune from tort liability except for a legislative act expressly or implicitly authorizes suit. This rule of sovereign immunity has been recently upheld by this court. Today, we abrogate the doctrine of sovereign immunity. we conclude that the doctrine is unfair and unsuited to the times, and this court has the power to abolish the doctrine. And then it goes in to a massive discussion of the theory of sovereign immunity and how it applied to kings, and specifically saying, why do we have it? We don't have a king.
I am looking at this right now. We are on page 19 and bullet point 28, and it is still going. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a long one. This is
Holy crap.
So they come back and they say in Mail v. Pennsylvania Department of Highways, sovereign immunity makes no sense anymore in this state.
Fair enough.
None whatsoever.
I love that.
Because it all flows from the common law principle that the king makes the law, therefore the king cannot break the law.
Okay, so they did away with sovereign immunity, and tell me that this is the same day that they made your bullshit court.
No, the bullshit court was already
there. All right, okay, good. Yeah. I was waiting to see if it was at the same time.
No, the bullshit court's there. So now we are in 2011. Now we're in the bullshit court.
Oh, good.
Now we're in the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania.
Got it.
All right. The case here is Meerhoff v. County of Erie et al. And I have a different thing. We're about to teach you something new.
Oh, I love this.
Right. This case was decided by the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania on April 4th, 2011, under docket number 467 CD 2010.
Okay.
You notice what I didn't do? Those fancy numbers with the A.3D and crap this time.
Why not?
Because it's not a reported case. This is a non-precedential opinion.
So another lawyer could never use this case in an argument?
We have actually updated our law where you can use non-reported opinions as long as you notify everybody. But this would not be precedential when it was published. An opinion is either reported, like all Supreme Court opinions are reported opinions.
Okay.
In intermediate courts, they're either reported or they're not reported. Right? A reported one goes in the reporter.
Right.
And we discussed in the past how the reporter, those are those numbers that are
Yes.
Those always carry the weight of precedent. They're reported opinions. And the court will say, you know, to be published, not to be published. To be reported, not to be reported.
Okay.
And to be published means the court has decided this is precedential.
Okay.
This will influence cases in the future. Non-reported opinions aren't precedential. They're not binding. They're persuasive if used.
Okay.
So a court doesn't have to follow them, but it can say it has good reasoning. Now, around 2008, it used to be you couldn't cite these at all.
Okay.
Around 2008, the rules of civil procedure in a lot of states got updated to say, if they're from this date on, you can cite to them with persuasive authority, but you have to notify everybody you're citing to them, and you have to attach a copy of it to them.
Okay. All right.
So, this is Kelly Combs Meerhoff, the County of Erie, Erie County Coroner's Office, Lyle Cook Coroner, and Robert Glenn Deputy Coroner. It's a 2011 non-reported case out of the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania. Do you want the facts?
I love the facts.
All right.
This is the sound of scrolling.
Yeah, it really is. I just don't like it. It's just horribly bad because I'm trying to find the name of the dead person, which really I should rephrase that. like that just sounds bad. Actually, the name of the man is Carly Combs. Carly Combs.
Carly Corpse?
Oh.
Oh, okay. That poor man.
Carly Combs is 21 years old in April of 2009 in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
She lives with her boyfriend. By all accounts, very pleasant, very intelligent young woman, college graduate, a little bit into the alternative scene, heavily pierced, heavily tattooed, but by all descriptions, very, very pleasant, very nice. Everybody liked her.
Awesome.
April of 2009, her boyfriend gets home to their apartment at 5:30 a.m. in Erie, and Carly's dead.
Oh.
She's just dead on the floor. Boyfriend obviously calls an ambulance. Ambulance comes out and picks her up. They take her to the hospital. She's at the hospital where they pronounce her dead, place her body in the morgue, and then release it to the Erie County Coroner. Now, in Pennsylvania, at 16 Pennsylvania Statute 1238 is the Coroner's Act.
Okay.
It is a law that establishes the office of coroner and sets forth the duties of the coroner.
Okay.
And section 1238 of that act says to the coroner, if you can't determine the cause of death, you have to do an autopsy to determine the cause of death. So Lyle Cook, who's the coroner of Erie County at this time, they get that body in, and Robert Glenn, his deputy coroner's there, and they're saying, should we be able to do an autopsy? Do we have to? Not even should we be able to, but do we have to? Because the law is mandatory.
Right.
Like it says, you have to do this. If you can't determine the cause of death, you have to do an autopsy.
Okay.
All right. So they draw blood. They send it out for a toxicology report. And then either Cook or Glenn looks at the body and is like, yeah, young girl, heavily tattooed, heavily pierced.
No.
Must be drugs.
No.
And they rule her cause of death a drug overdose.
Before they get the toxicology
Before they get the toxicology back. They release the body to the family. The family holds a funeral. She's buried. A month and a half later, the coroner's office gets the toxicology reports back.
Clean.
Clean.
Of course.
100% clean. Somebody in the coroner's office goes, well, shit. Because we ruled it an overdose. And the toxicology's clean. And now, under the Coroner's Act,
do they have to exhume the body?
We have to do an autopsy.
They legally still...
They apply okay. to the Orphans Court of Erie County, because you and I have discussed before who has control over
of the
body once
yeah.
it's in the ground. It's the court. The court has that control.
It's right? still a wild one to me, but yeah, you've explained that one.
And for the people listening who and here who haven't heard that episode, the basic idea is nobody can own a dead body. That there is what we call a quasi-property interest in a dead body in the family, in the next of kin, for the purposes of determining the final disposition of the body. Once a body's in the ground, we say it's in custodia legis. It is in the custody of the court. The only people with any rights to that body at that point are the court. And anything you want to do to a dead body, you have to ask the court for permission to do it once it has been interred. So, the coroner, Mr. Lyle Cook, you're going to hate his name before the end of this.
Oh, God. Okay.
Already do.
A month and a half later, goes to the Orphans Court of Erie County, which controls that, and says, yeah, we need to dig up that 21-year-old that we assume died of a drug overdose because she had some piercings and tattoos. And
yeah.
the judge says,
I'm going to assume because of the rule, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am also going to assume they didn't contact the family?
They did not.
Fucking course not! Oh.
A public exhumation is held with Lyle Cook and Robert Glenn in the county of Erie digging up the body a month and a half later to perform the autopsy. Carly, by the way, died of an undiagnosed and rare heart condition.
Oh, at 21.
At 21.
Nice.
It sounds horrible, right?
Yeah.
And the family's upset, very obviously. The family's upset. They
I would
see
be.
Their daughter who died untimely, buried her, and then the coroner's like, ah, I didn't follow the law. Got to dig up your baby. Went out and did that very publicly. It was in the news and shit. And they are just devastated. I could make it worse.
Oh, God.
It gets worse?
Hold on, like, with facts or in general? Are you going to start strip-teasing? I could make it worse. Da-da. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for whoever made it better.
You know, the moment he said that, somebody turned the fucking lights off. I can make it worse because when Carly Combs died.
When Carly Combs died?
Right, the 21-year-old, that's Carly Combs. Kelly Combs is her mom.
Got it. Sorry, right? I got backwards.
When
okay.
Carly Combs died, it was in the news. 21-year-old found dead in the apartment.
Did they say drug overdose on the news?
Lyle Cook and Robert Glenn went on the news and said it is a
drug overdose. Of course they did. Oh, my God. Okay. All right, I think I see where this is going.
So, they are understandably upset.
A little bit.
By the way, just to let everyone know how stupid I am, like at the beginning when I was discussing the case, I'm like, what was her name? I need to know her name. The caption of the case, I read off the whole thing about versus County of Erie County Coroner's Office, Robert Lindeckman Coroner.
Yeah.
I didn't read off the full plaintiff's name. Kelly Combs Meerhoff individually and as administratrix of the estate of Carly K. Combs. It was right the fuck there. Right there.
That's great.
Just not an intelligent man.
You're so used to reading the bodies of these things. You're like, title, screw that.
So Kelly Combs, very obviously upset.
Yeah.
So in her personal capacity as the mother of Carly Combs, and as her capacity as administratrix of the estate.
Okay.
Who is like the executor. It's just, I can tell you right off the bat, administratrix means Carly Combs didn't have a will when she died.
Yeah, okay.
Because an administrator is appointed by the court, and that happens when you die intestate without a will. An executor is appointed by you in your will.
Okay.
So administratrix means the court said you're in charge of the legal entity that is now your daughter's estate, which is all of her property and legal interest at her death.
Okay.
All right. So she's suing on behalf of herself, and she's suing on behalf of the estate, and she is suing for abuse of a corpse, intentional infliction of emotional distress, negligent infliction of emotional distress, both arising from alleged violations of the county code and the coroner's acts.
That's rough.
So basically saying, on behalf of myself and on behalf of the estate, I'm suing for abuse of the corpse. On behalf of my daughter's estate, I'm suing for abuse of the corpse. On my behalf, I'm suing for intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Okay.
I mean, you meant to do this. You did. You were so bad what you did that you had to do it intentionally.
Yeah.
Or negligent infliction of emotional stress, meaning you didn't exhibit, as we've discussed before, the proper care.
Right.
Both arising because you, the coroner's act says you had to do an autopsy if you couldn't determine the cause of death. You should have waited for the toxicology reports to come back. And not doing so was a breach of the coroner's act.
Okay. All right. I'm following all that.
And she's suing the county itself.
Right.
All right. She's suing the coroner's office.
Okay.
Okay. She's suing the coroner individually.
Good.
And she's suing the deputy coroner individually.
Okay.
All right. They file all of that. And the county and every other party immediately files preliminary objections. In the form of demur, which is just a fancy way of saying you haven't stated a legally sufficient claim. And the reason that they're saying you haven't stated a legally sufficient claim is they say in 2011, about 40 years after that case we looked at, we have immunity. But it's better than that. First they say, well, you can't sue the Erie County Coroner's Office. Why?
Sovereign immunity.
No, the Erie County Coroner's Office doesn't exist.
What? Wait.
I hate law.
It's not a real thing. There's a coroner. The Erie County Coroner's Office is not a separate entity. It is just the coroner and his deputy coroners.
Okay.
They then say you can't sue the coroner, you can't sue the deputy coroner, and you can't sue the county.
Okay, so the county sovereign immunity.
Well, governmental.
The governmental immunity. Whether the coroner or deputy coroner claiming they also fall under. Okay, so they're saying they fall under government immunity, which we've already discussed is gone. Oh, you son of a bitch. You just lied to me.
I didn't lie to you.
You lied to me in creative ways.
I did not lie to you. In 1973, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did away with governmental immunity. In 1978, it did away with sovereign immunity. It did away with both of those common law principles.
Common law principles. How about sovereign law?
Because you know what the Pennsylvania legislature did immediately after the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said we're doing away with the common law principles that say you can't sue the government?
took the other set of laws and made it
principle. They passed a sovereign immunity act and a governmental immunity act to make it a statutory bar. A
Jesus! When I play D&D, if in the middle of the game I pull out a Shadowrun book, they're allowed to stab me.
And this wasn't even, you put out a Shadowrun book. This is somebody said, well, it's D&D. We can't have Shadowrun rules in D&D. And you're like, okay then. So you went out and got hired by the people who published D&D? And had an appendix that said, by the way, anyone can use
Shadowrun rules.
My signature is just a middle finger at that point.
The legislature decided the moment that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, you can't sue us, or are you condemned? The legislature went, no, you can't.
That's amazing.
No, you can't. Unless, when could you sue the king?
If he let you.
Unless they let you.
Okay, where are you going with this?
This is true both federally and on the state level.
Okay.
Both the federal government and most state governments have something called the Tort Claims Act.
Okay.
And it lists out a series of circumstances when the government is consenting to be sued.
Are you telling... I'm sorry, hold on. As long as you meet the prerequisites, you can get sued.
As long as it falls.
Tell me you have the list of prerequisites, because it's usually like four things.
It is, for the state, it is nine things. Vehicle liability,
okay.
Medical professional liability, care, custody, or control of personal property, Commonwealth real estate, highways and sidewalks, potholes and other dangerous conditions, care, custody, or control of animals, liquor store sales, National Guard activities, and toxoids and vaccines. So if somebody sues the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania on any of those nine grounds, sovereign immunity does not act as a defense.
Okay, so they, those just work.
Likewise, number two, vehicle liability, care, custody, control of personal property, real property, trees, traffic controls, lights, street lights, utility service facilities, streets, sidewalks, care, custody, and control of animals. You can sue a government body, a local municipal, like a county body, for those things. Right? Now, in both cases, you're limited on what you can sue for.
Oh, there's actual limits on how much you
how
can
much
sue
you can
for.
Sue. You can only sue the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for $250,000.
What?
You can only sue a municipal or local agency for $500,000.
Any dealers in here? Anyone from the dealer's den? Thank you so much for everything you do, but I will only be paying $10 for your merchandise. I have decided, as the sovereign of this table, $10, you will accept it. That's not how anything works! That can't get better, we're on fire!
Those are just direct damages.
Those are just direct damages?
Remember in the past we talked about what we call intangible damages,
yes.
Pain, suffering, all that?
Oh, God.
Right, let's say you hit a pothole going down the road in your car.
Okay.
And in Pennsylvania. This is a very realistic circumstance.
I've driven within one state of your state. I've seen the potholes. It's one of the things visible from the moon.
Yeah, fly off the road, your vehicle slams into a wall, you break your legs, you're never going to work again. Can you sue for your pain and suffering?
No.
Okay. Are you still limited to the $250,000? I'm going to say that you can still do it, but you're still going to be limited by that $250,000.
Absolutely not.
Oh, you can't? They just won't let you sue for pain and suffering.
No, I should rephrase this.
They have a different cap, don't they?
What type of road is it?
Jesus!
Is it a state road or is it a township road?
for
you're
a
county. You're on the highway. Yep. That's the state road.
If you're on the highway, you can sue for it, and you're limited only by the damages.
Okay. Yeah. What about on a rural road?
Only if it goes over $1,500.
Jesus. Do you see why I'm so depressed?
You break your legs, okay, but it's not going permanently disabled. Can you sue for pain and suffering?
I'm going to guess no, because you and I talked about pain and suffering before, and that's not enough.
Let's go back to what type of road is it?
Oh, come on! All right, I'm on a rural route. I'm in the General Lee. I drive right towards the flatbed that is set up to put a different General Lee. There's a lot of General Lees down there. Don't worry about it. And I shoot from the rural route off the ramp and crash into the highway. What do you got now, lawman?
What type of road was it? On a state road, yes, you can sue. You can sue for the payment suffering of $250,000.
Good. All of you out there, crash into highways. We all know how great it went for Pennsylvania. Maybe now they'll listen.
If it's a local road, no. Because it has to be a permanent injury.
Oh my God.
And it gets even better.
There's no way. What? And you get a cake.
You remember how strong we all was supposed to say you hit a pothole?
Yeah. What? You label potholes. Potholes is one of them. You can't take that away from me. I've lost too much.
Let's say you don't break your leg. Let's say you hit a pothole. Okay. Driving down the road in Pennsylvania. Your car slams into the wall. You escape miraculously unharmed, except maybe a couple scratches, a bruise, or a hospital bill.
Car's total?
The car's total. It was a brand new car.
Okay.
Pothole's right in the middle of the road. Gigantic.
Yeah.
Who can you sue for your car?
And you were on the highway, right?
Yeah.
Don't say no one. Don't say because yeah, you didn't.
Who can you sue?
I would assume the state.
Absolutely not. What? You know why?
If you say sovereign immunity one more time.
We wrote a law specifically forbidding you from suing for potholes.
Dealers, going back where I was before, you also have to give me refunds. I don't even need to give you the shit back. We're making everything up today.
We actually said at some point that potholes are just kind of a risk, and unless we're on notice about them, you can't sue us for them. Like, we have to know. And if we don't know, you don't get to sue for the pothole. Unless you die. If the pothole kills
you, altruistic angel, thank you for that.
Listen, don't write it off. This is Pennsylvania. That's a very real possibility. Kage doesn't drop bodies in the Allegheny. He just finds a pothole in Schuylkill County and shoves him in.
And then files for saying, "Oh, you can't sue me. I'm allowed to bury corpses here. Statute 4!
So, with that in mind, you know why the law at that point may have allowed her to sue them. Because there are some circumstances where they said that they could sue it. She actually brings one of those circumstances.
Yeah, I was looking for one that she could have used. What could it be?
Care, custody, or control of personal property.
Okay, so I discounted that because the corpse is not her.